Our scripture reading this morning is Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. The book of Philippians was written by the Apostle Paul while he was shackled to a wall in prison. It is a deeply personal letter to the church of Philippi, and yet it speaks to us today as well. It encourages us to be joyful in the face of opposition and a call to focus our attention on Jesus Christ. Listen to these words from the Apostle Paul. I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether being well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength.
Our meditation hymn is number 2203 in the black hymnal. And during the singing of this, the children can go to Kid Connection. Pat Gosser has that this morning. Will you pray with me? Lord, speak to me and through me this morning. Amen. I have moved 43 times in my life. 17 before I was married and 26 times in 41 years of marriage. 12 of them were local moves within the same town from an apartment to a house or from one house to another. But 31 of them were between 200 and 5,000 miles, with 6 moves coast to coast in the United States and 4 moves across the Atlantic. Now, whenever I tell people that I've moved 43 times, usually their first is a look of horror and then a look of pity. I even had someone say to me one time, "Why would anyone do that to themselves?" However, I view it differently. In July of 2000, when I began to work with our missionary families and missionary kids around the world, I chose a motto for the missionary kids, which was enjoy the journey, celebrate the adventure, and be victoriously balanced in His hands. Now, you don't have to be a missionary or a missionary kid. I think we could all and all should live our lives that way. I trust that your life has been joy-filled and has had some adventure. Without a doubt, my life has been filled with adventure. But the only way that I could have survived all those moves and changes and transitions was to keep my life balanced in Jesus Christ. And in all those moves, I always knew that God was leading me personally, was leading us as a couple, was leading our family to that next step, to that next step on the journey, that next move, that next adventure. A few years ago, a friend of mine sent me a short meditation on one verse in the first chapter of Philippians. And in that first chapter, Paul tells the church at Philippi that his hope, his desire, his plan is to go and visit them when he gets out of prison. But then in verse 27, he says, whatever happens, in other words, if he is unable to get back to visit them, he encourages them to continue living lives worthy of their high calling in Jesus Christ. And along this journey that we call life, our walk should not be based on if or if only. Well, if I get into a good college, if I marry the right person, if I get a good job, if I have a nice house, if everything just fits into place and God does all that I want, then I'll be joyful. Then I can be thankful. But it's not our job to bargain with God, but rather whatever happens, we will be faithful to His calling on our lives. I'm sure some of you, if not all of you, have seen the bumper sticker on the back of cars, but more likely on the back of pickup trucks with gun racks. The bumper sticker that says, and I do paraphrase, life happens. I can see you've seen that bumper sticker. Life does happen to everyone. People fly planes into towers. They blow up federal buildings. They turn assault weapons on a group of first graders. A two-year-old dies of a brain tumor. A whole family is wiped out by a drunk driver. An innocent bystander is killed by a stray bullet in a drive-by shooting. There are tsunamis and earthquakes and mudslides and tornadoes. All of those circumstances are beyond anyone's control. And while some of those things affected some of us on one level or another, we each have circumstances in our lives at one time or another that's beyond our control. I had one such circumstance in my very young life. In fact, I mentioned it briefly last Sunday in my sermon. It was when my brother, who was 2 years older than me, contracted polio when an epidemic swept Los Angeles just 18 months before the soft vaccine came out. In a 24-hour period, Paul went from being an active 7-year-old to being paralyzed from the neck down, lying in an iron lung. In that short amount of time, my brother's life was irreversibly changed. And as anything like that, when that happens, the if-onlys begin. For a while, my father blamed himself. If only I hadn't moved the family from Pennsylvania to Los Angeles just 6 months before, maybe Paul wouldn't have gotten polio. My mother wondered if she was to blame. You know, if she had just insisted that Paul wear a sweater on a chilly morning two mornings before that. I was really too young to understand what was going on. All I knew was that my brother was no longer in our home, and I didn't see him for months. And even then, the only time I saw him was when a family friend took me up 6 stories on the outside fire escape of Los Angeles General Hospital so that I could see only Paul's reflection in the mirror of the iron lung, a picture that is forever etched in my mind. In that short time, his life was irreversibly changed, as was mine and my family's. But also that circumstance shaped the people that Paul and I became. It certainly shaped my brother's life. He was able, after a year, to breathe on his own and get out of the iron lung. He regained the use of his legs, but never the use of his arms. He had severe scoliosis, and over a 2-year period had 5 surgeries to fuse his spine, the whole time having an open tracheotomy. And when he died suddenly 5 years ago, he was in a wheelchair and on a ventilator. but he was also a fully tenured university professor with a PhD in American history. He was a leading authority on George Washington and the history in the United States at that time. He was the author of several books, and just before he passed away, he received the highest award given by the American Association of Disabled Persons to someone who contributed significantly to the disability community in this country. You could not have met a more intelligent person with a keener wit than my brother Paul. But I am also the person I am today in part because I grew up with a family member with a physical disability. But more than that, Paul and I were shaped by the example of our parents as we watched them respond to this life circumstance that was beyond their control. We saw how their faith gave them strength and patience and peace. And we watched them continue to live lives worthy of the calling that Christ had on each of them personally. Paul and I grew up hearing over and over again the Old Testament phrase, Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord provides. And any time I heard my mother or father say it in the house, wherever I was, I just knew that some need had been met, some prayer had been answered, even if I didn't know what it was. And to this day, I can still hear my father say, well, Jehovah Jireh again. We are the only ones who can decide how to respond to the circumstances of life. We can't always choose those circumstances, but we can choose our attitude toward them. You may have a situation in your life right now that you don't like, you don't want, and you didn't ask for. But it's beyond your control. And I encourage you this morning to allow the Holy Spirit to give you a sense of peace about that situation and to help you view it through new eyes. We have the power to choose our response to life's surprises. And it's important to remember that our circumstances are not what makes our lives complete. Wherever you are right now is not God's punishment. But in the midst of it, you can know that you have God's provision. If you haven't had it, you will have it at some time in your life. A situation, a circumstance, a valley that is something that you can't see the next step, you don't know why it's happening, and you can't see an end to it. But I've learned some things during those times in my own life. And the first thing I've learned is that it's a good thing that we can't see the future. Because if we could, we might just respond, I'm not going there. And actually not allow ourselves to go. But we miss having the experiences that enhance our lives. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is to be sure of the things we hope for, certain of the things we cannot see. If we could see the future, then we would have no need for faith, and we would miss out on so much that God has for us, even in the valleys. And even though we can't see the future, sometimes we still refuse to step out in faith because we're afraid of what might lie ahead. So it's good that we can't see the next step, but we might stay where we are or take an easier route. The second thing that I've learned is that God doesn't owe us anything. It's easy as Christians to feel that if we are doing for the Lord, then He should in turn do for us. Well, I've been to the church my whole life. I've been a Sunday school teacher for 30 years. I've sung in the choir. I've been a deacon. I've been a trustee. Heaven forbid, I've been a minister and a missionary. So shouldn't God be paying me back? But God doesn't owe us anything. But we all owe our lives and everything that we have to Him. Hebrews 10:36 says, you need to be patient in order to do the will of God and receive what He promises. The faithful promise is always there. And if there are any additional blessings, they're a bonus, but not something that He owes us. The third thing I've learned when I've been in a valley is that God deals with everyone differently. It's easy to begin looking around, especially when we might be in a valley, and wonder why God seems to be doing something in other people's lives, but maybe not ours, not answering our prayers, but He's answering theirs. He's using them. Do you remember that story at the end of the Gospel of John? It's after the resurrection, and Jesus has appeared to His disciples a couple of times, and here He's with Peter on the shore. And He asked Peter three times, "Peter, do you love me?" And three times Peter says yes. And three times Jesus responds, "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, take care of my sheep." And we think about that and we think, wow, what a wonderful moment that must have been for Peter, especially after he had denied Jesus three times. And here Jesus is letting him know that he's forgiven and that he's loved and that he's given him a job. The good old Peter. Instead, Peter points over there and he says, he points to another disciple and says, "Well, what about him, Lord?" And basically, Jesus says, "That's none of your business. How I use him and where I use him is totally up to me, and you have nothing to do with it." In other words, pay attention to where you are right now and to what I have for you, because God deals with everyone differently. Now, if you think about valleys, they tend to have a lot of shade and shadow and darkness. And they're places that don't get a lot of light. But it's amazing the things that can grow even in the shadow and the dark. Philippians 2:13 says, "God is always at work in you to make you willing and able to obey His purposes." But it has to be intentional. The thing I've learned is that you can still grow in the valley. You have to decide not to wallow in the shadows, in the shade, but to seek the light whenever and wherever possible. Under communism, the churches in the former Soviet Union grew in leaps and bounds. But once communism fell and there was no longer a shadow of a threat over them, church growth decreased significantly. The low points, the hard times, the challenging moments of our lives is when we experience the most growth spiritually, but only if we allow it to happen. Now, that's not to say that growth can't and doesn't happen on the mountaintops, but it's only when we have the Lord to depend on that we experience the depth of His love, His grace, and His provision. But that doesn't mean that we should then desire to live in the valley. Because the only way we know the difference is to have the highs and lows, and life is made up of both. Grace is not freedom from the storm, but peace within the storm. I have a sign in my office that says, "Life isn't about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning to dance in the rain." We will all have times in our lives, if we haven't already, when something is out of our control. It might be a health problem. It might be a rebellious child. It might be a broken relationship, the loss of something or someone, and there's nothing that you can do about the situation in that moment. But the last thing I learned is that there is something that is within our control. When we can do nothing else, we can still trust, and we can still be faithful. We are all called to be the example of Christ working in our lives, whatever happens. And as a church, you don't know what the future holds. You don't know who the next pastor will be or what he or she will be like. You don't know what changes are still to come. Some of you are discouraged, and some of you wonder if we're going to make it. You know what? We're still called to be faithful to our high calling in Christ and to pay attention to where we are right now on the journey rather than worrying about the next step. It's up to us to choose to be grateful, hopeful, and faithful. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "I alone know the plans I have for you, plans to bring you prosperity and not disaster, plans to bring about the future you hope for." But we have to trust that God is already preparing something for us, even if we can't see it yet. I found a prayer somewhere that has helped me on more than one occasion. It says, "Lord, knowing that you see what I can't, I ask for strength to appreciate your timing. In the passage that Claire read to us from the fourth chapter of Philippians, Paul, who has been persecuted, beaten, and thrown into jail on several occasions, is still able to say, I have learned to be content, whatever my circumstances. And then he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My prayer is that as individuals and as a church, we will stay rooted and balanced in Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to continue to lead us so that we can enjoy the journey and celebrate the adventure, whatever happens. And I can tell you from firsthand experience and with complete confidence, Jehovah always Jireh. Let us pray. Lord, we give you our lives, and we trust your presence and your protection and your provision. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing hymn is song number 372, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Words from Psalm 143:8. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Lord, take us back into the world today and into our lives, knowing that you go ahead of us, but that you also walk alongside us, whatever happens. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget the church picnic in the fellowship hall.